What do you do when you realize that you're a woman trapped in a man's body?
What do you do when you realize the man you married is a woman?
In this series, we reflect on our past to discuss how we got here
and explore where we can go from this point moving forward. Hello and welcome to The Rage. My name is Jennifer Termini.
And I'm Callista Termini.
And today we're going to be talking about triggers and things that we are sensitive about.
Indeed. I'm triggered.
You're triggered already? Hair trigger.
Yeah.
So we were we're on Zoom again because our schedules are crazy.
Yep.
And we wanted to get in person, but it just, we tried yesterday. It didn't work out. It wasn't going to work out today. So here we are at the last minute trying to do this. But I was struggling with what are we going to talk about? And I asked our daughter, what do you think? What would be interesting? And she just came up with, I think, such a good one. She said, well, what are you insecure about? What are your triggers? And at first I thought, do I really want to talk about that in front of the world? And then I thought, oh, why the hell not? We talk about everything else. And probably what is my trigger and your trigger is probably a lot of other people's triggers as well. So
absolutely. Yep. Well, I know one of mine certainly is, but you go first.
Do I have to?
Yeah, you do. Jennifer, what is a trigger of yours? What came to mind first?
Okay. I have an offbeat sense of humor. I have, in a way, kind of an offbeat sense of self, I feel like, compared to the rest of the world. I feel a little bit different. But what triggers me is when friends, really good friends that I love and adore, will say to me, you're a hot mess, or you're really different, or you're so different, kind of talk. And if I hear that too much, then I start to feel bad. Like, that triggers me. It's like, yeah, I know I'm a little different. Yeah, I know I'm a little alternative. I know I can be a little quirky, but I don't like being called that. I like to feel more mainstream.
Well,
I don't like to feel on the fringe. And when these people say that I'm a hot mess, or if they say I'm different, it makes me feel fringy.
Well, you know, it's an insult. I mean, understandably, you know, like, it's not like they're saying it in a, they might be like, oh, you know, I love you, but
They do say, I love you. I think you're fabulous. And they'll say, I'm weird too. And then I'm like, there you go. Call me weird again, you know? But they don't understand that kind of hurts my feelings. They think it's just something to be proud of, to be different. And in a way, I get that. But I also, it bothers me when I hear it too much.
Understandably. And, you know, just my opinion is that there's so much of this, you know, rush and effort to aspire towards mediocrity, like, especially with like social media and everything like that. Everybody wants to look cool and, you know, and do the right things and wear the right clothes and all of that. And sure, I mean, I think we're all subject to that living in, you know, the conspicuous consumption society that we do. But at the same time, you know, I've obviously have always appreciated your individuality, your tone facts in particular. And, you know, I mean, that's what makes you such a fun and interesting person. And so to hell with them, I say.
But these are really super good friends of mine. So they don't mean it in a bad way. I think they just don't realize how much it kind of hurts my feelings. I tried to say something the other day to one of them about kind of, you know, if you could cool it a little bit, because it is sort of affecting my, my mental state. And they didn't understand, really. They just kind of looked like shocked that I was somewhat unhappy about it.
Well, it sounds like a them problem instead of a you problem, if they don't like it.
Yeah, well, what I mean is I believe in with all my heart, they don't think of it as a dig. They don't realize that it's negatively affecting my sense of self.
Gotcha. So,
and that's a hard one. Like, how do you can't change other people. You can only change your own reactions.
Yes, And in fact, my trigger that I'm going to say, exemplifies that. So I've had family visiting for since the holidays. It's late January now, and so while that's been fine and wonderful and lovely, and I appreciate it, and I'm focused on the gratitude and the joy of having family visit, one family member in particular, not intentionally, but consistently, misgenders me. And just because they're talking, they're not thinking, we'll be at a restaurant and will misgender me accidentally in front of like the waiter or waitress. And it like feels like a hot knife being stuck in my skin. And I just am instantly like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this, and I want to scream. But I know that they're not doing it intentionally. They're doing it because they're clueless about the fact that they're doing it. And I recognize that it's not coming from a place of trying to make me feel bad. It's not intentional. This person, you know, loves me, accepts me as I am. They're thoughtful and generous. And so I just find that I have a very hard time, to the point where I just let it slide because I figure I really don't want to make them feel bad. So I've talked before in the past about setting a boundary and speaking up for myself. But because I care about this person, and because I know that they're not doing it intentionally, I don't want to make them feel bad, because I know it's not, I know that they're just not doing it consciously. And we're not talking about someone who's, 30, 40 years old. We're talking about someone who's not going to be here much longer. And so I'm trying to find compassion for them. But then what I find is I take all that energy and then I hold on to it. And like earlier today was just, things just build and I feel it. And I'm like, ooh, I'm so ready to scream. I'm so ready to, I need to do something.
I know that if the shoe was on the other foot, you would tell me, have you considered speaking with that person privately, you know, to have a conversation where it's just the two of you, no other eyes or ears. Maybe you could just mention it. Hey, I know you didn't mean it, but this has happened on several occasions and I'm really sad and uncomfortable about it. And I need to tell you so that I don't harbor ill will.
I thought about that, but I don't think that it's going to fix the problem.
It won't stop it from happening again, maybe, but maybe will it make you feel better by expressing it?
No, I don't feel that it would. I'm having that sense of making this person feel bad, and it doesn't, it shouldn't bother me as much as it does, is how I feel about it.
Well, that's the way I was feeling about the thing with me, but I finally just said something. It didn't go over very well, but it did take a little of the edge off for me because I voiced it.
Yeah. So, I have a very hard time, and I am eating my own words because I talk all day about, with clients about setting boundaries and speaking up for yourself and not holding on to resentment. But again, I literally feel like if I thought that that conversation would actually bear fruit, then I would do it. But I don't think that it would change things. I just feel as though they're at a place in their journey where they are doing their absolute best. And for me to focus on the gratitude of still having them in my life and loving them as they are, even though this is something personally reactive and triggering for me.
I hear you. Sometimes I haven't wanted to have conversations with people either. You were encouraging me to have a conversation with someone a week or so ago. And I was just like, what? I don't want to. What? I already know it would not bear the fruit that maybe was hoping.
Exactly.
So I get it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Your turn. What's another trigger?
Okay. This is the trigger with my dad, and I'm hesitant to say anything because he's actually going in for surgery tomorrow. I just found out he's going to have an angiogram, and that's actually pretty serious. You know, if it doesn't, you can die having this surgery because they go into your heart and they go into your arteries and they look for blockages and stuff like that. And he's probably going to be fine, and hopefully he'll be fine. Uh-huh. But I always get triggered by him. Because he'll say to me, how you doing? And if I don't just say fine, he gets a little annoyed. Like if I give too much information, it's sort of like, just say fine, you know, and that's annoying. And then he'll say, what are you doing for work? And if I say I'm photographing, you know, whoever it is, some big celebrity or whatever, he'll say, well, when are you going to get a real job? Mm-hmm. That triggers me every single time.
Yeah, it really, it's disrespectful.
Makes me feel undervalued, unappreciated, not important, like I'm failing. And that triggers me, that bothers me. And then I have to kind of squash that because I go, well, he's not going to change. He is who he is, you know, and if I say something, we get into like a little argument, or he'll just say, he'll change the subject to golf.
Mm-hmm. Naturally, you know, because everybody loves to talk about golf, especially people who don't play it. Well, I hope that he's going to be okay. I'm sure he will be, you know, but I understand anytime you go under anesthesia, there's always, you know, there are always risks involved and things like that. So I hope he's going to be okay.
Me too.
Yeah. You know, another big one for me is I really don't like jokes that make fun of people at their expense. I'm all about humility and self-deprecation, laughing at myself and things like that. But I don't like when people poke fun at me, or mischaracterize me for the purpose of, you know, being funny to other people.
You have an example that you're able to share?
Trying to think of one off the top of my head. I, you know, it's like growing up, I knew this. I had a really good friend, and his father growing up was the kind of person, like if I was, you know, hanging out and eating dinner at their house, the father was just merciless with like jokes. And so, you know, granted this was, you know, 35 years ago plus, and would make jokes about me being Italian, which, like, of course, it's like, well, who cares? And it's,
I think, you know, that's a bonus. Are you kidding?
I do too. Yeah, I do too. I mean, I have no problems with it. But, you know, when you're 15 years old and you have this male authority figure, and you've been, you know, brought up with manners and told to be respectful, and he's saying derogatory things about you based on your ethnicity or something about the way that you look. I was always very sensitive about feeling insecure about, you know, my masculinity or lack thereof.
Would you get called out on that as a younger person?
Oh, yeah. I mean, growing up, it was merciless. Like, not just me, but everybody. You know, it was, you know, boys where I grew up were, in my experience, were extremely competitive and were always trying to one-up each other, if not physically, you know, verbally with insults and things like that. And I never really liked that. I never really, it was a source of, it created shame. It created a lot of shame for me. Yeah. Because I didn't feel like I measured up. So I've always been, you know, I've always said that I've been emotionally a more sensitive person. So, you know, when people say things, you know, it's like sometimes my girlfriend will say things and she's like, oh, lighten up. I'm just trying to make a joke. And in my heart, it's like, well, it's a joke to you, but I don't find it funny. And
right, it's all relative.
Yeah. And, you know, and then she'll tell me to lighten up, and that doesn't go over well with me. And the times in the past where I've, you know, gone on the offensive and been like, hey, that's not cool, I don't like that, then it just turns into an argument, as opposed to now what I tend to do is, unfortunately, I just kind of stonewall. I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, and...
No, not one person on the planet relaxes when people say, hey, relax.
Yeah.
This exactly. is not possible.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, if she was listening to or watching this, she would tell me, you're mischaracterizing me. And I'd be like, then well, this is...
say, calm down.
Yeah. Yeah. Take a joke. Anyway, so that never goes over with me. I don't like, you know, like even I... really dislike if I'm driving someplace in the morning and I happen to be listening to the radio and you have like the morning radio, you know, disc jockeys or whatever the heck we're calling them now. You know, and they like making phone calls where they're, you know, pretending to be somebody else kind of thing to make fun of somebody, you know, unwittingly or unknowingly. Even like, and I bet you like this, you know, how you have the, what is it, Ryan's Roses?
Yeah.
I cringe. Like, even if they are like these horrible cheaters, for people who don't know this, like Ryan Seacrest does this thing where a woman, most like, you know, 99 times out of 100 will call into the station and be like, I think my husband's cheating on me or my boyfriend, and gives them the whole story. And then he has a thing where, you know, they pretend that they're going to send roses from a florist as a promotional thing. And then they ask the man, you know, who do you want them sent to? And wouldn't you bet 9 times out of 10, it's going to someone other than a girlfriend or wife. And so, you know, and it's just, it makes me cringe because it's like, I know that this woman's heart is breaking and, you know, and they're doing it for the ratings and everything. And so there's just something, you know, just a little unseemly about it for me that I don't like.
They probably look at it a little bit differently. They probably think they're also helping this person cut to the chase of mm-hmm. something that nefarious that is happening in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And cut to the chase and then move on. Let them sort it out, you know?
Fair enough.
I hear what you're saying.
I'm just saying for me personally, though, like I don't like things or like when people call, you know, like pretending to be someone to make fun of somebody like who's running a convenience store or something like that. And like, you know, making fun of them based on their, you know, placement in life, based on their ethnicity, or like making fun of people who have, handicaps in our society. Oh, sure. And things like that. And there is a large portion of our society that loves to make fun of those people. And I don't know, it's just for me, there's something about it that I know personally as a sensitive person, if it was me, I'm empathizing, I think, a little too much, that makes it feel very uncomfortable and I don't like it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about your childhood, I was thinking about my childhood, and we had I was called Jenny growing up, and we had another Jenny in the neighborhood before I moved to, you know, where.
Wait, there's another Jenny on the block?
Yeah. Yeah. And she was smaller than me. So she was little Jenny and I was big Jenny. You don't want to be growing up with the nickname Big Jenny.
No, no, you don't.
I didn't love being known as Big Jenny.
Can't imagine why.
And then I have a friend, I'm not going to say who it is, but her dad would call her Big Fat, insert the name, mm-hmm. and BF, and then her first initial on Christmas cards and birthday cards. And this went on for years and years. And so we're, you know, we talk about it now and it's like, yeah, Big Fat and Big Jenny, like nobody wants to be called that. So that's a trigger. I don't like, It doesn't really bother me now, but it really bothered me when I was a kid. I'm like, stop calling me that.
Okay. So do you have another trigger?
Oh, well, I just did one. I'm toggling it back to you.
Well, that was, you just piggybacked off of what I said about being sensitive and being called names as a kid.
Yeah, I know, but it was my example of a trigger. Okay, let me think. Oh, I found my glasses. I didn't think I had them. They're in my pocket. Isn't that the way of the world? The older you get, everything's on your head, around your neck, in your pocket. You have no clue. And you're like, where's my damn phone? And it's right here. Where's my glasses? Right here.
I'm triggered.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Let's see. What's another one? I don't know. I should have prepared better. I don't have a ton of triggers. The trigger about the one that my dad does is definitely a trigger. You know that. I've talked about that forever. The one about big fat, you know, big Jenny, that I don't like that. And being called weird or a hot mess. I laugh sometimes and I'll agree with people when they'll say, oh, you're such a hot mess. And I'll think, yeah, I guess I am. Ha ha ha. But really, I don't love it. So those are my big ones that I really dislike. I wouldn't call this a trigger, but this is something I don't like. I don't like when I'm talking to people and they aren't listening. They aren't making eye contact with me. I really get annoyed about that. Like when you and I were together, I'd be talking to you and you'd have your nose in your phone just constantly. You were always multitasking, right? You were on the phone.
No, watching a movie, no, this never happens. Never.
And I would just ride you about it, right? I'd be like, get off your phone and live your life.
I'm sorry, what? I was exactly. Looking at Facebook.
We just gave the world a glimpse of our marriage.
Yes.
There it was.
Yes.
So I don't like that. I like eye contact when I'm talking to people. I want their full attention.
Shoot, I just had one. Okay. I don't know if this is a trigger. This is more of a pet peeve. Okay. So triggers for me are definitely like the misgendering. I don't like, triggers for me, like I hate being late for things. Being late for things always makes me feel very anxious. So I would say, yeah, I don't like being late. I'm definitely a bum.
Why? Do you think you'll be judged? Do you think you'll be looked poorly upon? Why?
I wish I had an answer for you, but I'm kind of like the type of person who's like, if I'm arriving on time, I'm arriving late. I always like to be on time, and maybe like from our discovery program, like, you know, be impeccable with your word. And if you say you're going to be someplace at a certain time, be there.
I agree with you, because I think if people are late, and I am guilty of being late in my life, it is disrespectful. Yes. There's an undercurrent of disrespect where the person that's being late habitually is putting themselves before others. And that sends a message to the people that are waiting. And I don't align myself with that anymore. So I like to be on time. And if I can't be on time, I call and I text, or I give some kind of a notification so that person doesn't feel disrespected.
Yeah. And I would say that even goes for, like, as you say, like if I'm waiting for someone and they say, I will be there at this time. And then I have to wait for them to show up. Like, I find it inconsiderate, and it definitely is something where I start to feel resentful towards that
person. Yeah, especially if it happens habitually. If it's a one-off and they were stuck in traffic, I mean, we live in LA, come on, it can be unpredictable and things happen. But if it's habitual, then it comes across as disrespectful.
Yeah. And, you know, with like my schedule, seeing clients, like I had 7 clients today. I was on time for every single one, like no going to like the bathroom at, 11:59 a.m. and being like, oh, that's OK. They can wait another couple minutes. No, it starts now. So it's sort of like,
are you telling us that you wear diapers?
No, I'm just saying like, well, just hold it, you know. But my point being is it's more important for me to be on time and consistently for my clients, then, and there have been times when there's something going on and I would say like, hey, I was in this meeting, it ran late. I will let them know ahead of time. Like, not once I'm late. I let them know, like, I'm going to be a little bit late.
Yeah, and then, ahead of time is respectful.
Yeah, and then I try to, like, make it up on the back end, you know? But sometimes things are unavoidable. But again, that's, like, a very respectful kind of thing. And I see you smiling. What is it?
I'm so sorry. I don't know if this is going to show up on camera because I know you crop these things. But it's happened 3 times now. And now I'm like, I can't hold my laughter back. Something happens. It, like, okay, that's what's happening. It looks like a penis. It pops up on the screen. Your arm does like, don't do that.
Where? Popping up on the screen. Good choice of words.
All of a sudden, like, you do something with your arm, and there's, like, this giant black...
Giant black, go on.
It just looks like a penis. I don't know. It's like, are you...
Well, I'm curious as to, because it's a microphone, so, you know, you'd think that you've never seen a microphone before. Girl, you need to get some.
Oh my God, I'm just very punchy right now. That is so funny. It's a microphone?
Yes, it's a microphone.
It's Darth Vader.
Okay. Well, never thought of my microphone in that way, but yeah, maybe it's time to get creative with it.
I'm so sorry. I don't know
this. Oh, dear. Well, thank you, everybody, for watching today. Like, share, and subscribe. Next week, we'll be talking about cucumbers with Jennifer.
That's a whole separate channel. Eggplants, cucumbers,
yes.
Everything phallic. Oh, that's yes. So funny. That could be fun. But
we're going garden grocery shopping. We're going to the farmer's market with Jennifer. How many things can she point out as being phallic? Keep count with us.
I was just thinking about mushroom tops. I'm thinking about all this. I have not even been drinking, folks. I swear. I'm like so busy.
Maybe you should.
God, that's so funny. But what I was going to say is so your filter, it like does something weird where it does, I don't know. Anyway, is that even going to show up on camera or is it just off camera and I'm going to look insane?
You're going to look insane. But even if it does show up a little bit, it'll be just the tip. Well, folks, I think we're done with triggers and pet peeves for that matter.
Yeah. How long have we even recorded?
Is long it enough.
20 minutes.
Yeah, it's been longer. So we're in a good place. And I'm ready. It's been a long day. And Jennifer's punchy. Yes.
I'm in this hoodie. I'm like hot. I got like, ugh.
You're a hot mess.
Hey. Don't call me a big day. You're a big girl. You're a big hot mess.
Fair.
Fair enough. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Well,
thank you for watching.
Yes. Thanks to our patrons for your continued support. It means everything to us.
We have a new patron.
We do. And
I don't. Well, the name is like, it's hard. I'm not sure what the name is.
Okay. Well, you'll figure it out next time.
And I'll figure it out. We can
be sure
thank
to
them.
Say something. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, thank you. We really appreciate your support. Please have your questions, keep coming in. We really appreciate your comments. We do look at everything, even if I...
Yeah, let us know what your triggers are. Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
That's one of them. Yes. we'll see you next time. Like, share, and subscribe, and have a good week, y'all. Bye.
Y'all.
Y'all, folks.
Thank you for tuning into The Rage. If you haven't done so already, please hit the like, share, and subscribe button now. We truly appreciate all your wonderful support. Find us on social media at The Rage Episodes. And leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Want to get more involved? Join us on Patreon. Supporters receive extra benefits as well as access to member-only content. Thanks again, and have a beautiful day.